Set your course for the Hoth system. General Veers, prepare your men.
All troops will debark for ground assault. Prepare to target the main generator.
Echo Station 3TA.
On an Imperial Walker.
Attack pattern Delta. Go now. Watch that clock fire, boys. Right now, I feel like I can take on the whole Empire myself.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the bay.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. This is episode number 113. We're recording this on Tuesday, September 12th, 2017, and I am joined tonight by only one of my co-hosts. We have only one co-host that really cares about the show and wants to be here, and that's Chris. Chris, how are you?
I'm good, but I'm surprised that after all the slack, all the shtick you guys give me every day about not liking Star Wars, that you'd say that I want to be here.
I was surprised to hear myself say that too. I was like, wait, I'm talking about Chris? Maybe I should introduce him as Tim. No, okay. But Tim can't be here. He's working. He's traveling. I guess the next couple of weeks he's going to be out a little bit here and there and kind of spotty as far as his schedule goes. So it may just be Chris and I. We'll try to bring on a special guest or two maybe here and there and get some new blood on the show. But Tim will be back with us once he gets his work stuff straightened out. But for now, you've got Chris and I. I think we can do a pretty good job, Chris.
Yeah, I think so. We've done it before. We can do it again.
That's right. We have. Okay, well, let's get right into it. I guess the big elephant in the room is J.J. Abrams is helming episode 9 now.
It's a mixed reaction.
I like JJ. I mean, he's done some great stuff. And I really liked The Force Awakens. I know some people didn't. I know some people thought it was too derivative of A New Hope and so forth. But, you know, I mean, what you say what you will about the guy, he's done some really good stuff over the years. And I think maybe him bookending this trilogy is a good thing. We had, you know, a good intro with The Force Awakens, one of the highest grossing movies ever. So that's a good thing. I think some of that was just that we haven't had a Star Wars movie in so long. It wasn't just him and such a great movie. It was, but, you know, just the time it came out. So I don't think 8 and 9 are going to do the same kind of numbers. Although I was wrong about Rogue One. I keep forgetting about that. So who knows? But, I mean, what are your thoughts on JJ, Chris? I mean, are you excited about this? Are you one of the naysayers? Are you just kind of, eh? We'll see what happens.
Well, I'm kind of in the middle. I'm not against it, but he's not my first choice, obviously. I like TFA. I think it's a good movie. It does have similarities to A New Hope. Is it a complete ripoff? I don't think so. Is it necessarily the story I was expecting? No, but it's a good movie. I think the people that bash it aren't really looking at it from the proper angle. If you're looking at it from the angle of, well, it's just a ripoff of the original Star Wars, then maybe I can see your point, because it kind of is in some ways. But I'm not sure that's directly his fault. I think that's more the writing and what they were trying to capture the feelings of the people that grew up with the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted that tone, which is why it's similar. And I think with Last Jedi, we're going to get something a lot more unique and different. But some of my favorite movies have either been directed by J.J. Abrams or he's been involved with them in some way. Specifically, Cloverfield and Super 8, which he produced and directed.
You know, I totally forgot he did those two movies. That's a very good point. I really enjoyed both of those, yeah.
Yeah, and there's been plenty of others, too, that he have been involved in that I thought was fun. But those are the two that stick out to me. And, you know, we've seen his work on Star Wars. We know he's a fan. We know what a Star Wars film by J.J. Abrams looks like. We don't know what any film from any other director, including Rian Johnson, looks like. I was really confused at the people that wanted Rian Johnson to come in and finish it off when we've not even seen anything about the movie. So aside from a trailer, a little teaser trailer. So I didn't really get that, but
yeah, I was surprised by that too.
I do see why people are a little bit hesitant. Again, because, you know, we don't want a rehash of Return of the Jedi or something like that. But I said this in Slack earlier. I am happier about the fact that he's not bringing on Lawrence Kasdan. And I know that's kind of
really
blasphemy for some people to hear.
I mean, I don't have anything against Kasdan. I mean, I think he's done some good stuff. I'm a little bit worried about the guy he's got co-writing this movie. I mean, he's co-writing this with Chris Terrio. And I had to look up the name to see what else he's done, too, because I know I knew the name, but I couldn't place him. And I'm looking at credits of, you know, he did Argo. Okay. That was a great movie. Did a good job there. But then Batman v Superman, he's a writer on that, and a writer on Justice League, which we don't know anything about yet. But, I mean, people can say, you know, good and bad things about Batman v Superman, and maybe the director's cut is better than a regular cut, but, I mean, writing-wise, I don't know. Is that this guy you want helming or writing a Star Wars movie? It's a bit of a mess.
Yeah, that's a good question. So, I didn't see BVS, so I can't.
Okay.
I did see Argo, and I liked Argo.
Yeah, I liked Argo.
But I don't know. I don't know how the writing will work. In fact, that was my first reaction when I saw the tweet this morning. I was like, wait a minute, he's writing it? Because I don't care if he's directing it, but writing it, that's a little.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he did TFA with Kasdan.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's good because he is the one that kind of started the who is Luke Skywalker thing. Like, that was his motivation. And assuming Luke doesn't get killed in Last Jedi, we can bring that to a conclusion. And I think it's a nice way to kind of close that loop, or hopefully close that loop.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I will have my reservations, but I'm not saying, well, the sky is falling like some people are.
I was just thinking the exact same thing. I don't want to say that either because I don't think the sky is falling. I mean, hopefully Lucasfilm is doing the right things by pulling the plug on certain people or, you know, getting certain people involved at different times. Whether we think it's too late or too early is not for us to decide. I mean, we're not making it. We don't know the inside workings of this. Hopefully this is a good move. Hopefully we'll see a good movie at the end. I like the fact, like I said before, that he's bookending the trilogy. I mean, I would have liked to have seen the same team do all three movies. I mean, I think having a consistent voice means a lot. But, you know, we'll see what we get with episode 8 here pretty soon. So I'm still a little I'm up in the air. I think it's going to be good, but I'm happy to see Abrams involved. I'm a little bit nervous about Terrio, but I think that with Abrams doing it with him, I think, you know, I always like the things Abrams have done. So, you know, like you mentioned a couple movies that I forgot about totally, but looking through just a list of stuff he's been involved with over the years that I've liked, you know, Lost and Mission Impossible movies, and he's been executive producer on tons of stuff I'm looking through. I'm like, okay, he's been involved in some of these things. To what extent, I don't know, but you know, he's got his hand in a lot of things that have been just fantastic over the years, including even things like Alias. So I'm happy with him, and I think he's going to be a good person to bring this to the screen and make this all warm and fuzzy for us.
Mm-hmm. The one thing that I'm confident about is that he will make Episode 9 look and feel like a Star Wars movie, regardless of what the story and the characters and the plot is like. It will at least look like a Star Wars movie, because I think TFA definitely did.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, a lot of people kind of gave us flack or gave him flack about the whole, oh, it's gonna be practical effects, and you know, but it felt real. It felt like a good movie. I mean,
yeah,
there was a lot of digital effects in there, and he just made them work with the practical stuff. And I think that was one of the best on-screen, you know, immersions from the fan side of things that we got out of any Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I agree. I will say that when I came out of the theater the first time seeing TFA, I said it was the best movie, the best Star Wars movie, even better than Empire. That didn't last very long.
Mm-hmm.
I've only seen the movie 3 times total. Well, 3.5. I when I bought it on Blu-ray, I tried watching it and I got really bored. And I haven't watched it since.
Yeah, I haven't gone back to very much either. We talked about this a while ago that none of us have really gone back and really made this a go-to movie to watch. But I saw it twice in the theaters. I saw it once on the cruise ship. And I think I've seen it once on Blu-ray. But,
Yeah, it just doesn't have that rewatchability factor. And I don't think that's his fault. I think it's more of the story. And
yeah, but I think it will. It doesn't really happen. Once it gets some age on it, it will. I mean,
yeah,
you know, I pop these movies in all the time and have them in the background. I don't really sit down and watch them very much anymore as far as, you know, sitting down, turn the lights out, get a bowl of popcorn and watch the movie. I don't do that very much. I have them in the background when I'm doing other stuff and I know them by heart. So even if it's in the background, I'm not even looking at it. I know what scene's on TV. You know, it's like I know what's going on.
Yeah.
And this movie will get there, I think, in my my viewing at some point, but not there yet. So another thing that's cropped up with this right around the same time is the release date has shifted. So originally this was going to be a May release. It was May 24th, 2019 was the release date for episode 9. And now it's shifted back to a December release date. So December 20th, 2019. Any thoughts on that, Chris?
I mean, I don't really care. Honestly, I kind of like it simply for the fact that I feel like maybe Lucasfilm and Disney have this impression that they must release a Star Wars movie every year, which is why I think they're holding firm with the Han Solo release date, which I'm still not convinced will stay at May 2018. Despite what they may say. I mean, we don't even have a title or a teaser yet. But, I mean, I'm from the day of having to wait 2 or 3 years between a Star right? Wars movie. I can wait an extra 6 months. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, no, I'd rather see them push this date back and do the things they want to do with it and make sure it's right than... rush to hit a release date. I mean, anytime you see any kind of property rushing for release date and right up against the wall, it makes me nervous. I mean, look what we got from Battlefront. I mean, they were trying to hit a date to get this out before the movie, and we got something that wasn't quite finished. So, yeah, by pushing this to December, I'm actually happy with that. I like the December releases. It's kind of become a thing now. You know, you go to see a Star Wars movie in December. I like that. It's a good time of year to have a movie come out, I think, personally. The May is historic and it's nostalgic from the original, but we don't need to have it in May. So let's see. Now, we're getting our next movies coming out this December. Then we're supposedly having Han Solo in 18 in May. But then we have nothing from May until December of the next year?
Correct.
Okay.
Which is why I'm thinking... Or I don't think it will happen, but I will not be surprised if
they push Han Solo back. Yeah, that probably would seem better. I think in terms of the pacing of them, having one December now, one December next year, one December the year after, I'd be happy with that. I guess. I guess probably because I'm not anticipating a good Han Solo movie, so I'm just kind of biding my time for that one. but we shall see. We shall see. Let's see. Chris, you got some notes here for Twitter feedback. Was there something you wanted to bring up?
Yeah. So I asked Twitter today what they thought of the J.J. Abrams
announcement. Oh, okay. Good.
And I want to read some responses we got. Let's see here. Bringing up Twitter. So my specific question was, what do you think about J.J. Abrams coming back to episode 9? John says, low risk, stakes probably as high as with The Force Awakens. After 3 out of the 4 directors being replaced, don't blame Kathleen Kennedy a bit. Glad to have a big Star Wars fan in JJ at the helm.
That's good.
Jonathan says he is very excited, and that I think JJ wanted to do it before finishing TFA, saying he felt regret he wasn't doing another. Plus, this did start with his vision, which I think I mentioned earlier. Joe, man, we are just like going with the J names today. Joe says, I liked TFA, so I'm hopeful. Wasn't a big BVS fan, so not sure about Chris Terrio writing it. Cautiously optimistic, hashtag wait and see. And finally, Caleb says, no doubt in my mind that he'll put out a quality film.
Awesome. Sounds kind of like what we've been saying all along. I think this is good news. I don't think we have anything to worry about.
I think
it's a good hand.
I was a big fan of JJ's casting at the very beginning of all of this, mm-hmm. like when it was first announced that he was doing it. So I think it'll be fine. Now, before we go to the next thing, I want to ask. People have been criticizing J.J. Abrams for the mystery box thing that he just apparently loves to do.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on it? Because I kind of think that it's one of those journalistic takes that is just becoming tiresome and annoying and is really just an excuse when you don't know what else to write. I think there's a lot of stuff that goes unanswered in TFA. But I don't think that was ever J.J. Abrams's or TFA's responsibility to tell those stories, like Rey's lineage, for example, or why she's so powerful. I think that is up to episode 8 and now 9 to tell. So maybe he will end up doing the conclusion of those things. But what do you think of the whole mystery box? Do you think that's like a criticism?
No, I don't see it as a criticism anymore. I mean, people have kind of, talked about it too much maybe. I mean, it's not that big of a deal to me. I think that his theory behind that is good and sound. You don't want to give away everything. You don't want to have everything out there, right? I mean, a little mystery goes a long way in my book. It makes things better.
I agree.
Look at... we're talking about doing prequel movies or doing anthology movies and giving us a backstory for Boba Fett and a backstory for Han Solo. You know what? Some of those mysteries I don't need to have solved. I know who the character is. I know what they represent. I don't want to know more because sometimes that mystery makes them more appealing, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that people have just been talking about this too long. Maybe it's... run its course. They don't need to bring it up anymore, but I mean, this is his thing. That's what he does. And he's been criticized for it over the years. He was criticized for it a lot with Lost. Say what you will, he's done some really good stuff. And if he doesn't give you everything, if he doesn't, if some things are changed over time from what he said, maybe 4 years ago to what he says now, well, hey, things do change. A lot of people criticized him for the ending of Lost, and I thought it was excellent. I don't know what else you would have wanted from the ending of Lost, really. So everybody's got their own thoughts on it, though. Everybody's got their own needs for what they want story-wise. And I've said it before about different things within Star Wars that it wasn't the story I wanted, but it's what we got, so I'm going to enjoy it. We were talking before that we started recording, Chris, about books and Phasma, and I just finished Phasma. And, I'm not going to give anything away, but... It wasn't the story I wanted for Phasma. I think there was some very non-Star Wars-y stuff in there that I didn't really need, but it gave me stuff at the end that I felt really good about. So by the time the book was all done, I was happy with it, but there were certain points in reading the book I was going, okay, not where I would have gone with the story, but it did feel good at the end when everything was all tied up in a pretty little bow, so... If I was a better writer, I would write something myself, but I can't. So I've got to let people do their thing and absorb what they do because I can't do that. And I'm always grateful I get the new content. Before we go on actually to the next section here, one thing I was trying to wrap my brain about and I couldn't remember it. Now, we've had how many people replaced as far as directing movies and running things on the new Star Wars movies? We had this one now, right? We've had
we had this one. We had the two, for Han Solo, right. replaced.
No,
What
was the replacement we saw at Celebration where they had that panel where it was Gareth Edwards and somebody else is supposed to be
Josh Trank.
That's right. Which movie is he supposed to do? Was that supposed to be episode eight?
No, he was supposed to do, well, there were rumors. There was nothing announced at the time, but it was rumored that he was going to be doing a Boba Fett movie. There were also rumors about a Boba Fett versus Han Solo type thing.
Okay.
But the most rumors said Boba Fett, and they were, I'm assuming, going to announce that at the panel, but then that dropped out, which honestly, I kind of forgot about.
Well, you know, I was trying to rack my brain about what it was. I knew somebody dropped out, and, you know, even at Celebration, they had, you know, it was publicized. This was who was going to be there, and then we got there, and it was something totally different, which we were all fine with, but I forgot about who that was. So was there another one also, or just those three now?
Michael Arndt got dropped off of the TFA script.
Oh, yeah.
And JJ and Lawrence Kasdan took over. Mm-hmm. And then something happened with Rogue One with either one of the writers or somebody involved in production. They redid some of that. And then later on, they redid the ending.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much every movie except Last Jedi has gone through some kind of turmoil at some point or another.
Well, to date, we've gotten some good stories, some good movies, some good acting and directing. You know, I think, you know, as much as these changes may kind of upset people and wonder what's going on, I think the right things are happening. I think the real test will be when we get the Han Solo movie and see how that turns out, because, you know, replacing a director with 2 weeks left in principal photography can be a little risky, but if we get a good movie out of that, I think that, you know, our franchise is in good hands.
Yeah, I'll admit I was really worried when I knew Michael Arndt had been dropped from the TFA writing and that his script was pretty much redone. I know that he still got credit for it because they kept, you know, some of his material. But I probably would have rather have had his story just based on the very little that we know about it or that we speculate about it. Mm. But Rogue One, I mean, yeah, that other ending probably would have been cool, but I was perfectly fine with what we got. And if the same can be said about Han Solo and Episode 9, and well, I don't have to say Episode 8 right now, but you never know what can happen.
If they make some major change between now and that, then we might have a problem, but we'll see what happens. Okay. Well, let's go on to our fun fact and trivia, Chris. This is your week since Tim left us high and dry. This is on you, I guess, this week, right?
Yeah, and I was going to do something a little different, but I decided against it at the last minute. So my question is, I'm going to word it very simple. I'm not going to expect any details. But I will give you the details after you provide me the what will hopefully be the correct answer.
Oh boy, here we go.
So, including Obi-Wan Kenobi, how many Padawans, or how not? I don't want to say Padawans. How many people has Qui-Gon Jinn trained, including Obi-Wan?
Including Obi-Wan.
Yeah. Now, normally I would say Padawans here.
Yeah.
But one of them may or may not be considered a Padawan.
Okay.
Because it's never been officially verified, but I'm gonna count it anyways.
You know, I don't really have a good answer for this, Chris. I've never really thought about that. I mean, obviously we know Obi-Wan. And I'm thinking the one that you said may or may not have been a Padawan may have been referring to Anakin because he was going to train him and then ended up not, for obvious reasons. But I don't know who else he trained. I don't know, to tell you the truth.
Okay, well, if you had to guess, how many would you say? Again, that includes Obi-Wan. So it's obviously, it's not one.
It's not one yet.
I wouldn't put a trick question on you.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to say, well, you know, since I don't know who else he trained, I'm going to say three. Maybe he trained one of the person besides Obi-Wan, and Anakin may have been the maybe not Padawan.
Well, you are correct. It is three.
Oh, okay. It's a good guess.
However, Anakin is not one of them.
Oh, really? Okay.
So
who else did he train?
Well, we'll start with the first one. Now, this one is this is the disputed one. There's a guy named Feemor, F-E-E-M-O-R. He is technically Qui-Gon's first Padawan.
Okay.
Without getting into his biography, because no one really cares about that. It's basically he was trained to be a Jedi Knight and then eventually, you know, became a master or whatever. He's not appeared in, like, any novel or anything. I think he was in a comic book. Yeah, he was in a comic book called Star Wars Jedi: The Dark Side.
Okay.
So that's his only appearance, and that's the first time he was identified by name. Well, by his actual name, because in the Star Wars Episode One Visual Dictionary, it was said, and the I think even I'm on Wikipedia here, so I'm kind of reading this as I go. The novelization of Episode One, the Jedi Apprentice series, always said that Qui-Gon's second apprentice was his first. So the problem is, though, that the Visual Dictionary made a passing reference to another apprentice before the second one.
Okay.
And there was going to be like a elaboration about that in like another essential guide. However, the essential guide episode one was canceled, so there was not, you know, really a place to do that. However, later on in a character essential guide, and then something called the official Star Wars fact file, which I've never heard of, also mentioned an apprentice before the second one. And then finally, the databank entry on StarWars.com states that Qui-Gon dismissed his success in training the first apprentice after his failure with his second one. So the one before Obi-Wan.
Okay.
Now, finally, the comic book that I mentioned earlier featured a scene of a Jedi Knight named Feemor practicing combat against Qui-Gon and Qui-Gon's second apprentice. And then dialogue later implied that Feemor had once trained under Jyn. And then somebody on Twitter, one of the writers later confirmed that this guy was Qui-Gon's first Padawan.
Hmm, okay.
So it went from an offhand mention in a visual dictionary.
Interesting.
To a comic book. Like 12 years later.
Pretty cool.
Now, his second Padawan is a name that I've always liked because back when I was a kid, I thought it was so cool. His name is Xanatos. X-A-N-A-T-O-S.
Okay, I remember the name, yep.
And he was mainly in the Jedi Apprentice series, and I think even like the Jedi Quest books, too. But basically, he was Qui-Gon's second Padawan. And it says here that during the final trial that would have made him a Jedi Knight, Xanatos was corrupted by the mind and power of his father. After he witnessed his sister's death. And then his father's death, funnily enough, at the hands of Qui-Gon, he became a dark Jedi. Which is interesting because he's not a Sith,
mm-hmm.
but he's not a Jedi either.
Okay.
So it kind of comes into play with the whole gray Jedi thing that everyone's talking about nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then it says, 9 years later, Xanatos fought Jyn and his new pupil, Obi-Wan, on a planet called Bandomir. Later, he planned to bring the Jedi Temple into ruins, but the two Jedi put a stop to that at once. After one final humiliation that nearly placed him at the hands of Telosian authorities, he was from Telos, Xanatos committed suicide by leaping into a pool of acid.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, it's kind of funny. Where am I? Oh, no, I guess I'm on Wikipedia. There was a listing here showing apprentices for Qui-Gon, and they actually list, they actually list five, which is surprising. It mentions Fëanor, Xanatos, and Obi-Wan, the ones that you had. Mm-hmm. It does mention Anakin as an informal Padawan, so I was kind of partly right there. I'll pat myself on the back for that one, because I got the rest of it wrong, so I have to do something. But then they also list Yoda as an apprentice, as his Force ghost, because that's where...
Oh, yeah!
You know, I was like, okay, that's kind of cool, too, thinking of Yoda as his Padawan, learning how to, you know, commune with the Force. That's neat. So, cool. See, there's always more to learn in Star Wars.
Yeah.
As much as we think we know, and as much as we are involved in everything, there's always more to learn.
And I want to say that this just proves that I have read Star Wars books before. They're just young adult books when I was a kid.
Hey, we used to read some of the young adult books now. It's all good stuff.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's all good stuff.
Well, okay, maybe not, but it's all Star Wars stuff, we'll say. Okay, so we don't have a ton of stuff to discuss this week, but you know, in a little bit of news that was released, there's a couple of things that are going to bring up. I know that you and I both want to discuss a little bit as far as what this means for TV in general and kind of viewing habits. There was some stuff released about Star Wars Rebels. Season 4, we know, is going to start airing on October 16th. And they've done a couple of things. First off, they've moved the release date to Monday, because it used to be on Saturdays, right?
Yes.
So and I always ask because I don't watch anything live, so to me it's like what day of the week it comes out on doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. You know, I watch everything on my DVR or, you know, on my phone or something, so it doesn't really matter what day it comes out on. But they're doing this on Mondays, and they're doing, what, four releases a day? No, five, it looks like. It is weird. Starting at 12:30 in the morning. What? Okay, I'm not staying up till 12:30 on Monday morning to watch the episode. But I mean, what does this mean for viewing? Really? I mean, what, you know, does it matter that they're doing it at 12:30, 3 a.m., 7:30 a.m., 5:30 p.m., and 9 p.m.?
I think this is so dumb. I'm just going to go and say it right off the bat. This is, like, again, I feel like I say this a lot, but there are a lot of dumb things when it comes to Star Wars, both in-universe and real-world. This is up there.
Well, and I wouldn't say this is a dumb Star Wars thing. This is a dumb network thing. You know, I don't think this is Star Wars. This is Disney doing this on Disney XD.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of stuff about TV today doesn't make sense. And I guess it doesn't make sense coming at it from a historical movie or historical TV standpoint. We've always had, you know what, it's prime time, it's 7:30 to 10:30 is prime time viewing. Does that matter anymore? Maybe it doesn't. Maybe this is just our old ways of thinking, and we don't need to be beholden to a schedule that, hey, the show comes out on Mondays at 7 p.m. No, it's now five times during the day, which doesn't make sense, because if I'm going to watch it, it's going to be, I'm either watching it on demand or I'm watching it on the app or on the website, right? I mean, I'm not beholden to saying, okay, let's make sure I'm sitting in front of the TV at 7:30 tonight so I can watch a new episode of Rebels.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, here's my problem with it. And this, it's kind of related to, it's kind of a Star Wars problem, but it also just deals with the internet and the culture that we live in when it comes to television. Do I think that it's a problem that they're airing it at 12:30, 3 o'clock, 7:30, 5:30, and 9 o'clock? No. That's just TV. They can do whatever they want. But my problem is in the fact that, well, it's two things. The first is a little simple. It's I like the fact when we can all sit down together and live tweet. I love live tweeting The Expanse. That's one of my favorite things to do.
Mm-hmm.
on Wednesdays when that show is in season. Imagine if I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
I know people that live tweet Walking Dead. People live tweet Game of Thrones. These big, you know, event series. It's out right now.
Sure.
I know there's been a couple of instances. I'm pretty sure the season one finale, I think, of Rebels, and definitely Twilight of the Apprentice was all aired at the same time, at least for East Coast, not West Coast, but definitely East Coast. There was nothing on the app before. I know in season one they had put like the episode would go up a week early on the app, so you know you had to avoid spoilers and all of that before it aired. And then I think they kind of went back on that a little bit for season two. But I remember everyone was tweeting about Twilight of the Apprentice all at the same time, and no one had seen it yet, and that was so fun because it really brought Star Wars fans together. You know, in a time of when we're pretty much always arguing about some kind of drama within the fandom, regardless mm-hmm. of what it's about. So I would, especially for the last season of a really good TV show in Star Wars Rebels, I wish we could have that every week. And yeah, I understand that, you know, viewing habits are weird with when it comes to TV shows, but just imagine, and everyone watches things at different times. And I know that I Tracy said something on Twitter about how, yeah, this is a lot, you know, a lot of people watch on like our app or something, iTunes or whatever. So that, you know, it's not a big deal to them, but you know, make it a big deal. Like don't put it on the app or release it. I don't know, on iTunes or whatever after the fact. Like most other TV shows do, like you were taking away, in my opinion, a huge weekly type of event by not doing this, especially given the fact that Rebels is concluding and we're going to have a lot of big events, I'm assuming, take place this season, which leads me to my second point of, we're going to have to avoid spoilers like crazy. Because you're going to have the people that watch it on the app beforehand. Because yeah. I don't know. I saw something of them saying when it would be up on the app. I didn't exactly get the time, like, exact. So it may be before the 12:30 showing. It might be after. But
yeah, but even so, even if it comes out that morning, it's still, you know, most people are probably going to watch it that night. Right? I mean, if you want to watch the same day. Yeah, most
people want to watch the 5:30 or the 9 o'clock p.m. showing. But if you basically, if something happens in the episode, you're going to have to avoid Twitter literally all day.
Yeah.
And if you're one of the unlucky people that waits, that has to wait until it shows up on Google Play or iTunes or something like that next day, then you're going to have to stay off the internet completely because if, like, Kanan dies or something, I mean, it's going to be the top story of, you know, a lot of geek culture websites. And, you know, there are some, like Nerdist, for example. I know when some stuff happened in the later half of season three, they were very good about not putting stuff in the headline. Not all websites do that.
Yeah, you're right. Some websites are getting better about not putting it in the headline, but you're right. Twitter's going to be a mess. You're not going to be able to do anything online.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even you know, email stuff, when you get, you know, consolidations of Twitter things over the day and an email comes in, oh, great, I just got that spoiled too. You know, it's like,
yeah,
you're right. It makes it harder not to do it faster. And I'm a bad one for getting a bunch of episodes together and watching them all at once. So I might go a week or two before mm-hmm. I see something. I'm going to be spoiled left and right. And that's part of this whole thing of, you know, the way TV is being consumed these days is different than it has been in the past.
Yeah.
So, you know, it used to be it was on once, you saw it, everybody saw it at the same time, you couldn't get spoiled. Now it's, hey, you watch it whenever you want to, but be prepared. If you don't see it right away, you might have to go into hibernation.
Yeah.
For a couple days, you know? I don't know. It's tough. It's a tough way. I like the whole live tweeting thing. You're absolutely right. I like that. I don't always have a chance to do it, but it does make you feel like you're sitting down with a bunch of friends watching a show.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets you back to that, hey, let's all get around TV and watch it tonight. Or, you know, I remember back, you know, you go back years ago and me and my friends, we get to have a viewing party for whatever was on, you know, whether it was whatever show we were into at the time, Next Generation or what have you. We'd all get together at somebody's place and we'd all watch the episode together. And it was fun. Now you don't do that because everything's on your own time and your own schedule and things stack up in your DVR and you watch them all at once. But
I'm not too upset about this because it's the last season. And I'm hopeful that if we get a second TV series, it will be on either the main Disney Channel or something like Netflix or, God forbid, the stupid Disney streaming service. and that we won't have to deal with, like, you know, the stupid cable app that you have to have to use the cable subscription to access Watch Disney XD or, you know, buying it on iTunes or something ridiculous. Like that. Why can't I just watch it on the TV at a normal time like everyone else? But like, imagine if Game of Thrones did this or Walking Dead. If HBO was like, oh yeah, we're just going to air every HBO episode or Game of Thrones episode at like five times during the day, and you're just going to have to watch it whenever and avoid spoilers.
Yeah, like,
the internet would just have an outrage at that.
They
will. I don't know why more Star Wars fans aren't outraged at something like this.
I'm only assuming that it's because there's not the same demand for this as there is for like a Game of Thrones or The Walking Dead. You know, those shows are just so popular and they're live action and they got a much broader audience, much more mainstream audience too. So, you know, they tend to be more touchy about that kind of stuff. This is an animated show. It's not as wide stream, mainstream, I should say. So it doesn't have the same appeal and the same level of, you know, hey, don't do this to me type thing. Mm-hmm. But I just don't understand why you would do it five times a day. I mean, regardless of whether they can or not or what they should or not, why would you? What does it get you? You know, I mean,
I don't know.
From a network's point of view and in revenue stream, I mean, they're putting it out there. They're selling ad space on it, but you know, I don't understand what it buys them. Is there nothing else they can put on instead of that?
I mean, it's fine for, well, it is Disney XD, so it's not like they're like overloaded with programming.
True.
But it's okay because, I mean, there will be people that stay up until 12:30 to watch it. There will be people that watch it, you know, as they get ready for work or school in the morning. There will be people that watch it when they come home. There will be people that watch it at night. So I can understand that. And if this was like just for the premiere, which, by the way, for people that are going to watch it, it's going to be an hour long because it's two episodes split, two 30-minute episodes combined. So it's an hour long.
Okay.
And so I can see why they do it for the premiere. But for every single one, I mean, that. I don't know. I'm very against this decision.
I mean, it won't affect me with the way I consume television, but I'd love to know the thoughts of people that consume stuff live in general. You know, generally, what do you think about this? Are you going to watch it at 12:30? Do you care that it's on five times a day? Is it making it easier for you to watch it live with somebody else? Is it, you know, what are your thoughts on it? Because, I mean, I'm stuck in my old ways of watching television, so maybe I'm the wrong person to ask. But I'd love to know from our listeners what they think about this whole five times a day showing thing.
Yeah, and there's another thing that I wouldn't mind getting feedback on about Rebels. There's a rumor going around that there's going to be two episodes shown per week. So like every time it'll be an hour session. And that's getting people to think, well, maybe, you know, if they start in October, That's, you know, two episodes a week. So in a month, you're getting, what, 2, 4, maybe 8 episodes out in a month. So
right.
By the time you get to the end of November, I mean, you're going to have, I don't know, you're going to be 10 episodes in. So I wonder if we're going, and I don't know how long season 4 is going to be, but I wonder if we'll have it out before Last Jedi, and if so, if there's a reason for that.
Yeah, that's a very good question. I mean, that kind of goes back to the whole thing of, well, do you want it quickly, or do you want to stretch it out so you have something to watch all season long? Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw a thing about this saying, oh, is it going to be a short season? Well, if it's the same number of episodes, it's not shorter or longer. It's just, you know, you're getting it more quickly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, unless there's a reason for doing it before Last Jedi or getting it out there, then I don't see why you'd want to do it more quickly. I mean, I kind of like to parcel it out so you get a little bit every week and you have it through the spring. I mean, that's
Lou, I think I know the answer to this.
Okay.
So, behind the scenes, in secret right now, Lucasfilm and Disney, after Last Jedi comes out, they're going to have a prequel series to the Han Solo movie. That's why they're not moving it from May. So we're going to have Rebels, Last Jedi, Han Solo prequel series, Han Solo movie in May.
That's just wrong, Chris. That's just wrong. I had something somewhere in my mind. I was thinking about, okay, if they're doing them sooner to get them out of the way, and I don't want to say like just get them out of the way, but you'll get them over with sooner. Maybe they're working on the next project that's going to be coming out in the spring.
I wouldn't get my hopes up.
Well, I can always hope and dream. I mean,
that would be nice.
You know, let's finish up Rebels and then have the next animated series coming up, because there's gonna be something. You know, we got something coming from television from Disney, right? It's got to be.
I don't know. I don't know about when you, television is a weird word there, Lou. That's a weird word to use.
I mean, because I'm not sure. Just drop this. We're not gonna have anything else on television.
I'm not sure if we'll have a Star Wars TV series.
Oh.
And when I say that, I mean something that's broadcast on network television.
Well, yeah, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying
something. We might have a series of some kind, but it might be on a streaming service.
Okay. I mean, I'm just thinking something to replace Rebels with when it's done, whether it's live action or animated, probably animated.
Mm-hmm. I will say that I remember looking on the Lucasfilm like job website over the past year, and there have been listings for animation roles, and it didn't say working on Star Wars Rebels. It was like working on another project. So who knows what it'll be? But
okay,
or if that was even a hint. But we'll see. I guess I'm hopeful that if this I don't mind it, because it means that I don't have to, a lot of these episodes are probably going to be two-parters. In fact, I think either the first 4 or 6 are two-parters. So that'll be fine by me, I guess. But because I don't watch Rebels live, because I don't have the channel. I mean, I do at the moment, but previously I never had the channel, so I can't really watch it live. But it would be nice to have, I guess.
True.
Especially if Ezra is Snoke.
Okay, Chris. Yeah, whatever you're smoking up there, we'll just have to. Sorry, I was just thinking of Ezra as Snoke.
After Kanan might still be what's his face from Rogue One, because he's blind. Maybe at the last episode he's like, I'm gonna change my name and become friends with this guy with a gun.
Oh, Chris, you crack me up sometimes.
Just wait.
Chris, you know, I will wait. I am ready to wait for whatever movie comes out and whatever's there. I'm not going to speculate on anything. I don't, you know, I don't really, I don't want to say I don't really care, but I you know, I'm not searching out the answers. I want to let them come to me.
Yeah, I've not had, actually someone on Twitter today said that they brought up the point of, like, at this point, like a few months out from Last Jedi, at this point when with TFA, how much did we know really about the movie compared to Last Jedi? And I'm like, I knew a lot more about TFA than Last Jedi at this point, like 4 months out before the movie. So I'm liking this. Like, I have no desire.
See, and I did good during
spoilers or anything.
Yeah, I mean, I've been good the last couple of movies. I haven't done any kind of searching. It's funny, I do a Star Wars podcast, but I'm not searching out spoilers. And you know, I enjoy going to a movie and not knowing what's going to happen. I enjoy letting it unfold in front of me on the screen. I mean, I didn't have anything spoiled for TFA. I was excited about that. I'm excited about The Last Jedi and not knowing what's going to happen. I can't wait to see what unfolds on screen. And I'm going to not watch the TV spots when they start coming out either, because I know those usually give away more stuff. And I'm like, nope, not going.
Yeah, I will watch the trailers, but
exactly, that's what I'll watch.
I mean, I'm not going to obsess over them, especially with Last Jedi, like I did TFA, because I watch those, you know, a lot, but. Last Jedi, I've seen the teaser a couple times. If you ask me right now to do a recap of the Last Jedi teaser, I could say, well, there's that shot of Rey with her hand at the beginning.
Little rocks floating, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Luke says that the Jedi must end. There's some kind of weird Jedi symbol somewhere. You see Phasma and the fire with some troopers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's literally all I remember.
But then we have the behind-the-scenes one where you have the Porg.
Oh, yeah. I can't tell you anything about the behind-the-scenes except the Porg. Honestly, I think I watched that, like, once.
Really? Oh, I loved that because it was just some cool imagery. I like. Yeah, I like the imagery stuff they showed us there, and it didn't give away anything in the story, so I'm happy with that, but... just some of the shots we're going to see, it just gets me excited that we're going to see some really cool stuff on screen. Mm-hmm. You know, that scene in the behind the scenes show of the explosion on that planet with the red dirt.
Oh, yeah, the red dirt. I remember the red dirt. Yep.
I mean, this looks amazing, you know. So, I mean, again, we talked about it before, about the whole practical effects thing, and I think we're going to see that continuing in obviously, in episode 8. Mm-hmm. It just makes it feel so much more realistic. So,
yeah. I hope that they don't, like, belittle the practical effects point, because even though I understand what they were trying to say with that, which is that we're mixing real and CGI
mm-hmm.
in a way that Star Wars has failed miserably on before, they did, and, like, you can tell what is computer
mm-hmm.
in the special editions of the original trilogy, right. You can tell what is computer in The Phantom Menace. You can't always tell what is computer in TFA or Rogue One.
Right.
I mean, it's a nice blend.
Right. Just give me the best quality movie you can make with the technology you have. I don't need to have you go above and beyond to make sure that we know you did this with the most cutting edge technology out there. No.
Yeah.
Make it look good. Make it... You know, make it the most believable, realistic movie you can put together on screen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ask for much, right?
No.
Just give me the best, right? Well, you got some feedback you wanted to go over on email, right?
Yeah. So we have two pieces of email this week. And I'm going to ask Lou, which one do you want to hear first, Mike or Percy?
Let's do Percy first.
Okay.
We'll save the longer one for last.
Yes. So Percy from Orlando, I hope you're listening to this right now, and I hope
Percy that might not with have her, power to listen to us.
Yeah, but I hope Percy is okay.
Yeah, I do too.
I hope Percy can listen to this. So best wishes to you, Percy. Anyway, Percy writes, Guys, I enjoy listening to Echo Base. Keep up the good work. I will not be long because I'm at work. But on the topic of Star Wars films, if it's a Boba Fett movie, I'd like to see the period between 4 and 5, The Hunt for the Death Star Hero. Let's watch the process of Boba hunting Luke for Darth Vader, but always just missing the mark. And why? For Yoda, there is 800 years to pick from. What about the Sith Wars or Mandalorian War? Just as the filler movies, how about the Rebel Flight Academy or the TIE Fighter Academy that end with the main characters going to war? Just some thoughts rolling around in my head. Thanks for the great entertainment. May the Force be with you.
Ooh, a TIE Fighter Academy movie. That sounds awesome.
That's something that I probably would rather see in a like a series.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Because totally then that just goes with the whole Rogue Squadron.
Right. We talked about Rogue Squadron before. And that would be right along in there. I mean, I think it would be kind of cool. You know, it would be kind of cool to get a series or even a movie of like a Rogue Squadron and an Imperial Squadron type thing, and kind of, you know, maybe they're at odds with each other. Maybe it's in a back system where they're not really on the front lines, but, you know, you have these two factions that they don't fully engage, but, you know, they're there and they always test each other's, you know, limits and so forth. That'd be kind of cool.
One of my favorite stories from Rebels is the one where they, Sabine gets into the Imperial Academy. And I think it was Sabine, right?
Yeah,
Imperial Academy. Yeah. And brought out Wedge and the others. The other, I think
Wedge is the only one I remember really in that.
Wedge and there was another pilot that she brought to the Alliance with her. But I like that. That was probably one of my favorite stories from that series, and I think it would be pretty cool. And maybe I always liked the in A New Hope when Biggs was saying that, or even Luke too, was like, "Yeah, I want to go to the Academy, which is the Imperial Academy." Mm-hmm. And then they get wrapped up in the whole Alliance thing. But that'd be cool.
Well, you know, it's cool because I mean, the people that join the Imperial Academy or go to the Imperial Academy and join the Imperial Navy, they're not joining an evil group. They're not saying I want to be a bad guy, and you know they're joining the government. I mean they're going to fight for what they believe in because they think they're protecting the galaxy. I mean they don't know really what's going on, obviously, because it was hidden so well. But I mean I think, you know, from that point of view, it's cool to get that. I mean, I like military stories. I like stories about military groups and how they function and how they were formed and, you know, the process and everything. I mean, it's really cool usually. And if you can do it in a sci-fi setting of either, you know, like a Rogue One squadron or an Imperial squadron, I think that'd be amazing to see the, you know, the rigors they put these pilots through and their, you know, how they're treated and how they, you know, fly sorties and everything else. I think that'd be just really amazing to get that. And I think to your point, Chris, a series would be the best way to do that. But you could do it as a movie too. I mean, that would be kind of cool to get that kind of stuff out there.
Yeah, and it'd be nice too to see something Star Wars related that is like a big deal. So I'm talking about like a TV series or a movie that is focused less on the main heroes that we're all familiar with and more like the everyday guy.
Mm-hmm.
Or well, girl.
It's like, I mean, you probably didn't read them, but the Lost Stars was a good example of that, where you got that feeling of the Imperials and how they were running things and who these players were and what they were doing. And they thought they were doing the right thing. And it was like, okay, you're in the Imperial Navy. It's great. But you're right. Those are the stories that make me feel really good about getting Star Wars content. You know the Imperial Navy as a group. And if you get a story about unknown people that aren't our main heroes, but unknown people in the Imperial Navy, but it's Star Wars. It feels good. I mean, that's I was talking about the Phasma book before. You know, the stuff about Phasma in the Imperial Navy was awesome. The stuff about her background on the planet she was from before she even got there was like, okay, it's background on her, and it tells me who she is as a person, but it's not very Star Wars-ish. You know, I don't care about that. I mean, it's just I want Star Wars stories. I want stories about
wars, you know, and the stars.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, it's how they interact with the things that we know that go on. I mean, we know the Imperial Navy. We know what stormtroopers are. We know that they have, you know, these giant ships that house thousands of troops and people. How does that function? Give me some details about that and the people that make them run and how that's interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
That's pretty cool. But and the other ones you mentioned there, the Yoda, obviously you got a huge amount of time frame to pick from, and he picked some pretty good ones there to make a movie out of. What was the first one he had mentioned?
Let's see.
Right before Yoda story, there was something else.
It was a Boba Fett movie. Oh, the Boba Fett movie. A period between 4 and 5. So the hunt for the Death Star hero, which is Boba Fett hunting Luke for Darth Vader.
Right, right.
Which I think we've seen in the comics, right?
We have. Yeah, we saw that in some of the comic, the Vader comic, especially. I think, right?
Yes.
We had Vader hunting down, you know, the unknown person who's trying to find. But you know, I'm not sure how interesting a story would be about all the times Boba Fett missed finding Luke.
Do his character good at all.
No, I mean, you know, it's a good in concept, but you think about it, it's like, okay, so it's he almost caught him here, he almost caught him there. Well, you know, maybe that's not the best story to have, but
yeah, I mean, it's not like we want to see the Star Wars version of Scooby-Doo where Boba Fett's always the guy under the mask. He's wasn't like, oh, you meddling kids.
Yeah.
And their dog, too.
Yeah, that's right. But the other ones, I think, would be a nice addition if they could make those into movies, Percy. So thank you very much for your email.
Yep.
Now we got one from Mike, I guess, right? On also movies that we were talking about, too. Was that his scoop?
No, it was the Kenobi movie.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So, Mike, for those of you that don't know Mike in our Slack channel, he is a very long-winded guy. One time he wrote something, he wrote something for our website that was 9 pages long, single-spaced, and we published
it. Mike is just very thorough.
Yes. He's
very thorough and very verbose.
Yes, but he has some good ideas.
Oh, he does. That's definitely.
That's why we talk about it. So
and he shares my birthday too, so I got to cut him a little slack.
Yeah,
yeah.
So he emailed us some ideas he had about the Kenobi movie, and a lot of the stuff is, you know, him agreeing with things that we talked about in our previous episode of the podcast where we focused on that, but. Basically, he said, you know, there's two ways you can go about it. You can go about the Tatooine way, which is, I think, kind of probably where what we're going to see, if I had to guess. Or you could go with a pre-Phantom Menace set of adventures with Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan when he was just starting out as a Padawan. Now, Mike mentioned, he said... why can't you do both? The spinoff movies are not above doing huge time jumps or flashbacks. Rogue One has both. So how about a story about Obi-Wan set during the dark times between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope, still set on Tatooine? He is still dealing with learning to commune with Qui-Gon and Yoda, still exploring himself and the Force, and still dealing with some local challenges and internal struggles. But while communing with Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan can also be reminiscing with Qui-Gon about an adventure they had together in the past, which can be visualized as a flashback story with younger actors playing both characters. We can revisit the era of the Jedi before Phantom Menace, have Yoda back as an audience favorite as well for a minor but significant role. The plot can involve some significant event or adventure that Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan get into, which teaches an important lesson to Obi-Wan about the Force and his purpose as a Jedi, and the same things can play out again in the Tatooine story, teaching him a new point of view, etc. And naturally, we can see why Obi-Wan is one of the best Jedi ever, both in his younger days and in his last days. And you could get Obi-Wan together again with Qui-Gon too, also get the actors back playing their roles again. Wins all around.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that could work.
Yeah, I don't know how well that'd do as a movie, but that'd be a great TV series.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we keep saying about this stuff that the TV series would be good for longer format stuff. You could have more time to develop characters and more time to get the point across of how you're doing these time jumps. Because sometimes time jumps can be confusing.
Yeah.
Very confusing sometimes. So it if it's not done right, it could be a mess. But you know, I like the thought of taking a current story set in, say, the, you know, Obi-Wan Tatooine time frame, and then having him reflect back on lessons he learned from Qui-Gon.
Yeah.
I like that a lot because that, you know, whatever situation he's in right there, you flash back to, you know, the earlier time when he learned what it was he had to learn that's going to help him in the current situation right now.
Mm-hmm.
That would be pretty sweet, I think.
Yeah, and you could certainly make a story that's 2.5, maybe 3 hours long of something happening on Tatooine that requires us to know about a previous adventure. Even if it's just one, like half the movie is a flashback, the other half is like him going out and like doing that, and you can mm-hmm. see why they relate. I mean, that works. I don't know what story you could tell with it, but it would work.
Well, you know, that's the other thing too. We talked about this, I think, on a show we did talking about this movie, was that, you know, how much interesting stuff could have happened to Obi-Wan on Tatooine in this time. He's supposed to be laying low. I mean, he's not supposed to be noticed, right? He's supposed to be just kind of there making sure nothing happens to Luke. The more big adventures he has on Tatooine, the more chance of him getting noticed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's my only drawback to Obi-Wan's story on Tatooine is he's supposed to be laying low under the radar, not making any, you know, waves.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you make that adventure, you know, cool and amazing and wow, look what he did, the more someone's going to go, hey, who's this guy that seems like he can do stuff nobody else can do? And at what point does Lord Vader not hear about this and pay an early visit to Tatooine in a different timeline and mm-hmm. wipe out Luke before it ever happens, and now we don't have a new hope?
Yeah.
You know? Okay, so we have a special call-in guest now. He couldn't... Evidently, it wasn't important enough for him to be here on time. So he's going to have to call in, and we're going to get his thoughts on some of the stuff late in the episode. You know, I apologize for the length of the episode now. It's all Tim's fault. Even though he's here now, it's still Tim's fault because he's here. But Tim, how are you tonight?
Hi, guys. Great. Yeah, this is Tim calling in from Kansas City, a longtime listener, first-time caller.
Awesome. We already mentioned you were a WAM business and you would be kind of spotty for the next couple of weeks with everything you got going on work-wise. But I'm glad you could call in and give us some of your thoughts on some of the stuff we talked about. So we opened the show up with the big news of J.J., now helming episode 9. And, you know, what are your thoughts on if this is a good move? Is it a bad move? Are you happy with what JJ's done so far? Do you think he's going to make a nice, you know, closing out of this trilogy?
You know, all in all, I got to say I'm pretty happy with it. It's obviously a safe move. And I know that, you know, going back several episodes with a big discussion point that Chris had brought up about Lucasfilm and Disney kind of playing it too safe and being afraid to take risks. So, you know, but even with that said, this is obviously a safe move for them. And I think that really with the saga films, they kind of do need to keep it safe because they have an overall story arc. I think it's a little more forgiving to bring someone in to do a movie, to do one of the Star Wars story movies. And, well, you know, if it doesn't go completely as planned, I mean, obviously that's too bad, but it's only one film. If you take a misstep in a trilogy, that can have some bigger impact. So I think bringing JJ in is a good move. It's a safe move. Obviously, as the director of Episode 7 and as a kind of a continuing producer, he has his eye on the overall story arc. And so I think that's a good thing. I think they can get some good consistency with that. There's obviously been a lot of talk even before this of him working with Rian Johnson and kind of handing over the reins between 7 and 8. And I think now we're going to see that handoff obviously between 8 and 9. You know, I don't see where it's a bad thing. I mean, while The Force Awakens, and I think a lot of us had the same impression that when we first went to see it, we were really wowed and really excited by it because it was our first Star Wars film in quite a while. But after a while, that hype kind of wore down and we realized, or at least a lot of us came to think that, okay, maybe the story isn't so good. The effects are really cool. Some of the characters are good, but we're kind of unsure about it. Still, nonetheless, it's the first act of three big acts. So, you know, we kind of have to give it a chance. Visually and directorially, I think JJ did really well. So, you know, I don't think it can be a bad move for him doing episode 9.
You know, there's some of the same thoughts that Chris said, especially with the whole, you know, but part of him just coming in and being safe again. And I think that's fine. You didn't really say anything different than we've already said. I think we're all on the same page now, which is good. I mean, I am in favor of JJ coming on to this, as I said before, and I'm looking forward to what we're going to get. I think that so far we've had this in good hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tim, we had gone over, you know, the changes we've seen in different either directors or writers over the course of the movies we've received so far and what we've got coming up. And it's not as bad as we were, you know, talking about. I mean, it seems like every time we turn around now, we're getting a new change of a director or a writer or something going on. But you know what? We've had good movies. I don't think we've had any stinkers, really.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, people can nitpick all they want about, I think, you know, we talked about the whole TFA thing being a redo of A New Hope, and I don't think it is, and Chris doesn't think it is, but some people do, and fair enough, I can kind of see why they would say that, but, you know, for better or worse, it wasn't a bad movie. I mean...
No, it definitely was not a bad movie, and, you know, I think we have Kathleen Kennedy, who is doing, to a large extent, what we want her to do. She is protecting the property that we love. And, you know, changes in the cast and crew for movies happens all the time. But we tend, and we as in, you know, kind of the big we, the general we, tend not to notice that so much because they're not huge, prominent movies. Obviously, we track everything that goes on with any film or any license that happens to have the word Star Wars on it in that particular order.
Right.
So we just get hypersensitive about that. And, you know, it then becomes this, you know, Chicken Little thing. I think people really freak out sometimes over a lot of this stuff. And this is stuff that this is a normal course of things as they happen, not only in Hollywood, but just kind of generally in business. You know, the director is a project manager, and, you know, you can work for a certain company or an agency or an organization, and project managers are going to change based upon personalities and organizational direction and people leaving and people coming and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it happens. We're just really hypersensitive to it because it's Star Wars.
Yeah, very well said.
I think that's a lot of it.
Yeah.
I do want to mention, so I'm traveling with a good friend of mine, John Stewart, not the, you know,
say, wow,
talk show.
How
host,
come we haven't John had Stewart. Him on the show before, Tim? I mean, you're holding out on us.
He's holding out on us.
Yeah.
And that's right. That's right. And John is a big listener of Echo Base. So I wanted to give him the shout out on here. He did ask me as we were having a couple of adult beverages tonight. He did ask me a question, which I thought was a really good question, really important question. I wanted to throw it out to you guys. The question was, is Chris really a Star Wars fan?
Well, you know, we started off the episode, Tim, by saying that Chris was the only one of the co-hosts that cared enough to be here tonight.
Ooh, ow.
So, ooh. You know, that should give you his level of, you know, fandom, at least, I think, right?
Ouch. That's painful, guys.
Sorry, Tim.
Yeah, very hurtful.
Not, you know, valid question, what we said about Chris in the past and how down he is on things. But, you know, Chris does add that element of, you know, hey, we can't all be on the same page with everything. He's got to bring somebody's got to bring the opposing viewpoint sometimes, and it's good. It does make for good to see. If we all agreed on everything, it would be a very boring discussion, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if we all liked The Phantom Menace, I mean, whew.
Exactly.
No one would listen to us.
That's not going to happen.
And The Phantom Menace is a great movie.
Phantom Menace is the second best Star Wars movie. What are you talking about?
In John's defense, he did mention that he does like and oftentimes tend to agree with a lot of the counterpoints that Chris brings up. So
good.
But yeah, he was just kind of going along with the kind of the running gag of you know, does Chris really like Star Wars? So. Or does Chris realize that he's on a Star Wars podcast?
Yeah, it's funny because my personal podcast, Chasing Fandom, there's not a lot of episodes out there right now, but I'd say if not most, then definitely half of them deal with Star Wars in some way or mention
it's
it.
True.
So, yes, I am a fan. I just... extremely dislike the books.
You know, Chris, you're a fan that cares about the franchise. You care about the parts that you want to care about, which I think is more than fine. You're also protective of it too. I mean, you wouldn't be doing a podcast, you wouldn't be going to Celebration, you wouldn't be, you know, excited about a lot of the stuff that you're excited about if you weren't a fan.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. No, I much to your point, Lou. If you know, we all agreed on the same thing, it would be pretty boring. And you know, I mean, something we've brought up a number of times in the past is that there's something in Star Wars for everyone, and not everyone has to like everything, or even has to consume everything within the fandom. So,
Exactly,
there's plenty out there for everybody.
No, you know, I think for all the people that give The Phantom Menace a bad rap, I should be allowed to say that the books are garbage.
That's
fair point.
Why not?
Speaking of books, Tim, have you finished Phasma?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So I have two, and in the next episode we'll have to do a little talking about it. Maybe we'll do an episode without Chris, just so we can insert about Phasma.
Or we can have Chris call in later to the episode.
There we go. Yeah.
That works.
Because I just want to get your thoughts on that a little bit too. And we talked a little bit about Phasma earlier. But yeah, no, I finished it as well, so it'll be good to talk about some point.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Let's do that.
So at this point, I think we are pretty much done. Unless there's anything you want to add in, Tim, that, you know, we talked a little bit about Rebels, the fact they're airing five times a day on the days they're releasing, and then maybe two episodes per week from them. We got a little bit of feedback from different listeners, but, the big thing was talking about JJ and talking about Rebels, so.
Yeah, the date changed too.
Yeah, nothing more to add for me. I think I'm sure you guys covered it adequately, and I don't want to rehash stuff that's already been said. So,
okay. Tim, do you like the fact that it's going to be coming out in December instead of May now?
Yes.
Okay.
I figured so. I'm a big December release fan. That's oh yeah.
Okay. Well, we would like to get some feedback from any of our listeners. If you have any questions or anything you want to comment on about what we talked about tonight, the best way to do that is to give us an email. Send that to echobase@randomchatter.com. That goes to all three of us. And as you've seen tonight, we do read some of them on the air, and we do appreciate everybody's comments back on different discussion points we had.
Mm-hmm. You can also reach out to us on our social media accounts. We have our Facebook, facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. We also have our Twitter account @EchoBasePodcast and the network Twitter account @randomchatter. By the way, I'm now updating the EchoBase Twitter, or at least checking it regularly. So if you want to reply to something we say on there, have at it, because I can now see it. You can also contact us on our personal Twitter accounts. Mine is @TheCurseOfChris. Lou, what is yours?
Mine is just my name. It's @LouSecki. That's LouSecki.
And poor Glover, what is yours?
That's @QuigonTim. That's Tim with two M's.
Okay.
Don't forget, you can listen to all of our shows on the Random Chatter Network.
I jumped the gun there, Chris. I'm very sorry.
I know Tim always waits for me there.
I know. I'm sorry. See, Tim's not reading the notes, so I'm kind of filling in for Tim. And I'm going to do this no justice to what Tim normally does. But, you know, we'd like you to spread the word about the show and help us out with some support. You can leave reviews for us on both iTunes and Stitcher, or wherever you download your podcasts. We do appreciate those. It helps people find the podcast, helps us stay more relevant out there in terms of searches. You know, you must know some friends that like Star Wars, so tell them about it too. You know, let them know, hey, this is a great podcast. These guys talk about stuff they're wrong a lot of times, but they talk about it and they're fun to listen to. So, you know, maybe they'll listen to us as well. And you know, certainly you can help that work out by going over to patreon.com/randomchatter and helping the cause. There's several different levels out there. Probably the most popular one right now is our $1 a month level. That does get you into our Slack channel, or as we like to call it, Slack Sanity. So you can get out there and talk with all of us all day long. And some of us are more active than others. I haven't been as active lately as I'd like to be, but I'm starting to be more active. There's something for everyone on Slack, and you get to interact with us and other fans directly, which is kind of cool.
Could if I could jump on for a bit with the Patreon thing. So on my drive to the airport this morning, I listened to one of my other favorite Star Wars podcasts, which is Star Wars in Character. And those guys did what I thought was a great thing. They do Patreon also. And one of the things that they mentioned, they literally were recording their episode like hours before Hurricane Irma was coming up. And one of the guys happens to live in Orlando.
Oh, boy.
So for their, in lieu of their Patreon pitch, and I don't mean as in Lou Secchi, I mean in replacement of, they mentioned that, you know, if this month you were considering becoming a Patreon supporter to them, and I'd kind of like to offer the same thing in terms of Random Chatter. If you are going to sign on for us this month, that's wonderful, and we greatly appreciate that. Consider maybe delaying that a month and throwing some cash toward one of the hurricane relief charities that's out there. Between the two hurricanes that struck the U.S. and the Bahamas and Caribbean islands, just over the last few weeks. I mean, obviously we've seen billions of dollars in damage and people dead and people without homes and just all sorts of horrible things. And I'm sure some of our listeners have even been impacted by this. We have Liz, one of our hosts on the network who lives down in Orlando. We know that we have existing Patreon supporters that live in Florida and Georgia and other areas that have been hit by these hurricanes, and obviously a bunch of other listeners. And certainly our hearts go out to you in the hopes that you fared as well as you possibly could. So for our listeners, you know, yeah, definitely this month consider showing some love to some of those hurricane relief charities that are out there. You can go out there and I mean, find a lot of them. There are a lot of them that exist out there. It could simply be something very popular like the Red Cross. My personal favorite is Team Rubicon, which engages veterans in disaster relief work. There's a lot of things out there. So I just wanted to throw that in, Lou, to kind of consider that given some current events.
No, thank you very much. That was a very well put thing. Of course, you make us look bad for not mentioning that ourselves. Thanks, Tim. But, no, that was a very good cause. I know there's been a lot of devastation in both those. I had a friend of mine who got out of Houston earlier this year before everything happened, and she's very happy that she's not there anymore, but she's a lot of friends down there still, and just a mess. Yeah. In Florida, I mean, I've lived in Florida for many years and cannot imagine what that would be like. I was down there when Andrew came ashore, and that was a mess, even though I wasn't really in the path of it, but it's just, it's tough down there. It really is. So anything you could do to help out down there would be fantastic.
Yeah. And Liz did okay, by the way. But her and her family did well. They're dealing with some power outages and such. But in terms of their own properties and living spaces and such, they fared pretty well. So they're doing okay.
Finally, the music you hear on this podcast is The Force Theme by Scandroid and The Imperial March by Soul Dweller.
Okay, and that brings us to the end of another scintillating episode. Thanks for listening, and we'll come back at you next week.
Scintillating.
Yes, scintillating.
Wow. Is that Lou's word of the day?
It's a $5 word. I bought that on Twitter today.